It is time for another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show on this beautiful Monday night. We have some spring-like temps in the Midwest, almost 60 degrees here. I don't know what it is there, but it's been awfully nice here after a week last week where it was just brutal. So we get a little bit of a glimpse of spring. You know, we only got two more weeks left of the Big Ten season. We have some spring training going on. Golf tournaments are heating up, and it's a fun time of year. But both of our basketball teams have stunk here the past couple weeks.
Woof!
And we're hoping winter slows down a little bit so we can catch their breath before the NCAA tournament. But I'm the J-Man. Sitting next to me in a different state is the Tan Man. How you doing tonight, Tanner?
Not so good, J-Man. It was a rough sports week for me, for my team to lose to both, not just one, both of my least favorite teams in Indiana and Michigan State. It was rough, but I think what's frustrating, and we'll dive deep into this during the podcast, I think what's frustrating for both of us is both of our teams are still what I would consider good basketball teams, talented basketball teams, but they're just not playing like it right now. They're both in ruts. And they've both had points in the season where you're thinking, man, you know, this could be a special season.
Yeah.
And right now you're just thinking, oh, man, this season's turned into a disaster.
I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't know if they're winning another game.
I've said the same. I've said the same thing. And, man, it's, you know, Purdue's in real jeopardy of losing their streak of getting a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. And they're going to not only have to win, probably win out, but maybe even have a break or two fall their way. So, but they put themselves in that position, and we'll talk more about it here in a bit. But I did bring some birdie or bogey with me this evening. Don't like the question. Apologize in advance. I expect a tough one in the future. I was just struggling to find one. But NBA All-Star Game just happened last weekend. Of course, they've switched the format up in the last few years to where there's not even like a legit coach anymore. This year you had Team Shaq, Team Chuck, Team Kenny, and then a woman's basketball player. I don't remember who it was. So, but back in the day, you used to have actual coaches. So I want to know what NBA head coach, and this is all time, has coached in the most NBA All-Star games?
That's a good question. There's a few guys that come to mind, but yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Thanks.
I told you I didn't like it.
Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Good food, cocktails, casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yes, and they haven't posted since their Valentine's Day special. So I don't know what their special was. Well, I know their owner's on vacation right now. So that could be why they haven't posted anything. But if you're in the mood for a good steak, good pork chop, good seafood, good sandwich, good soup, good salad, any or all of the above, go check them out. Like J-Man says, 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana, open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings right now. And I expect come springtime, they'll open up even more. So
yeah, definitely. Going to have to make a trip back.
Yeah, I honestly, I haven't been in for a while either. I eat lunch at their, I guess we can call it their sister restaurant, Dreddy's Place, quite often when I'm in Rochester. But I haven't been in Rochester around dinner time quite a while. Yeah. So we're both gonna have to make a trip there. Sounds like so. You said spring training started. I can't say I've watched a single pitch yet, but I'm going to try to find these. I saw pictures of all of the MLB's spring training hats. And I want you to tell me who you think is the best.
Are you going to put them up on the screen?
If I can get this to work, yes.
All right.
This could be a disaster. I didn't test it earlier. Please tell me that's a picture of them all. Well, here's what I'll do. I'll just share the screen and we'll just go kind of one by one. We need to kill some time anyways.
I've watched some spring training. I've watched the Cubs. I would say about 7 to 10 innings of the Cubs so far. You know, I'm trying to you know, not watch any college basketball whatsoever at this point. So
Purdue's struggling. I can't. It's
I can't do it. Cannot do it. It's been so rare for either of our teams to struggle in Big Ten play over the past, you know, 5 years or so that it's been a weird feeling. Cause again, we're both pretty used to them being in that, you know, top four, get the double bye sort of deal.
Yeah. What do you think of the Mets hat? I actually, for a guy who does not like the Mets, I kind of like the spring training hat.
I like the creativity. I like the baseball on there. He's got a smile. I don't know how much he'll be smiling during.
He's got sunglasses on. It's kind of giving me the spring training vibes, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice that they got a little creative with the spring training caps this year.
Orioles, you're basic.
Oh, pretty boring. Yeah, pretty boring. Similar to what they wear in the regular season too, on occasion. So
$48 for a fitted. Holy, even 40 for a stretch fit. Holy cow.
I used to be a big fan of lids, the store in the mall back when malls, you know, were a thing.
Yeah.
I would go in there. I remember you could get a fitted hat for like $20.
Oh man.
And I used to wear hats all the time. And now, ironically, now that I've lost all my hair, I no longer wear hats.
I wear a lot of hats, and I'm starting to wonder why that's why my hair is thinning out a little bit. But Yankees, as a Yankee fan, I don't even really like that hat.
I don't mind it. I like the pinstripes on the hat. I think it's kind of cool. Speaking of the Yankees, they're finally getting rid of their archaic policy where they cannot have beards. They can have a mustache, but now they got to have well-kept beards.
Yep, and still haircuts. Too.
Yeah,
I don't think we're gonna see long hair,
but the beard thing at least you can compromise with that.
This Diamondbacks one might be my favorite one.
That's cool.
I like that blue and the rattlesnake. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
Pirates. This looks like the Pirates.
I was gonna say it looks like their
alternate logo, I guess.
Yeah.
How about the Cubs? Baby blue with the royal blue bill.
I don't think they've worn those yet. I could be wrong. Okay. I mean, I like that.
Kinda Braves, normal, pretty normal. Dodgers, cursive D.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, kind of. It's crisp.
It looks like a minor league cap.
It does.
I like the Rays. I like the light colors. Cool. The baby blue with, I don't even know what to call that logo.
Almost looks like maybe a ray of sunshine, maybe.
There you go. But I like the yellow on the brim. That's good. Tigers.
At first, I thought that was a Chicago Bears hat.
I did too.
Padres.
Mariners. That's
kind of cool.
Yeah. I would have made the logo a little different, maybe, but
yeah.
Pop. Braves, Tigers, Phillies. I like that one. Liberty Bell.
Liberty Bell. Cool. Man, it's kind of neat.
I think they've wore those before in the spring training.
On their actual jersey, I think they have the Liberty Bell on their sleeve.
Yeah. Let's see. Rangers, that's boring. That's just a different color.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they've worn something similar to that.
Oh, good job to be creative, Cardinals.
Well, I don't think the Cardinals have signed a single major league free agent this year. So, and they're still trying to ship off Arenado, so it could be a last place Cardinals team, which I'm very okay with.
Just a red hat, red on red. Giants, I couldn't have told you that was different from their everyday hat. No,
me either.
Red Sox, yeah, it's a little different. You don't see the black brim too much.
Yeah, Marlins look about the same.
And Marlins is about the same. Let's see here. Got two more pages. A's.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool. All yellow with green A's.
Yeah, they are cityless, essentially, or stateless, even. They're just the Athletics this year.
Kansas City, that looks like an alternate hat.
Yeah, I was going to say they've worn those before for sure.
White Sox, pretty boring.
Yeah, they gave up 9 runs in the first inning today. So,
Nationals, that's kind of cool. That's different.
First, I thought that was the University of Washington hat. And I thought it was
Washington Commanders.
It had been, or Washington Commanders, too.
Who in the heck? Oh, the Twins.
Twins. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's a retro one. Blue Jays. That's classic Blue Jays.
That's old school. I like that. That's
a good one. Brewers. Kind of ugly colors, but I mean, it's their old school, but that's kind of ugly.
Yeah.
Same with the Astros. That's
boring.
Different shades of orange on top of each other. I don't know about weird. That.
Pass.
Yeah, I've seen these. That's a boring one. Rockies is all purple. I mean, that looks like their alternate hat. Angels, that looks like their everyday hat, doesn't it?
It does. I'm pretty sure that is their everyday hat.
Maybe a different color of brim. Let's see. Got to be getting close to every team.
I was going to say, who are we missing? We haven't gotten to the Reds yet.
Watch them not sell the Reds.
They might not. Where is it?
Guardians.
There we go. That's okay.
Yeah, a lot of red there, but I would definitely say the Mets is the most. Wow, that's boring.
That is boring. Just like the Reds.
I would say the Mets is the only one that's kind of really out there.
Yeah.
The Yankees maybe a little bit, but
every other makes sense. But the Mets, I mean, you never see that as part of any logo or on their jersey.
That is it. So. Yeah, I saw some people ranking their top five today on social media. I'm like, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
So, but how are the Cubs looking so far in spring training?
Well, win-loss record means nothing, obviously, right. But they're 5-0, so I'm going to assume means they're going to win the World Series this year, but no. They've looked fine. Pitchers are always ahead of the hitters, although the Cubs are hitting the ball really well so far. It's early, obviously, but Michael Busch has had a really good start to the spring, as well as prospect Kevin Alcantara. He's had a good start. Pete Crow Armstrong's had a good start. Justin Steele pitched two really good innings the other day, and says he feels strong, and they need him to be because he's had some injury issues, but he's really good when he's in there. And, it's just sort of a different coaching staff. Council kind of has his guys around him now, where last year he inherited some guys and it was kind of late to start signing some guys from his coaching staff. But we've seen some aggressiveness on the base pass so far that they kind of ended with last year as well. And, I've got the baseball itch now that it's been exacerbated by the fact that my college basketball team's lost, 8-13.
Good word choice there.
Thank you. But it's nice seeing baseball on TV, especially when you get an almost 60-degree day here. It gave me a little pep in my step.
Yeah. I guess I lied. I said I haven't seen a pitch of spring training. I've seen some highlights here and there. And one highlight, I follow a lot of Colorado sports accounts on X, including the Rockies. And the Rockies the other night gave up 3 runs on a sacrifice fly.
That's why they play the spring training games, to work the kinks out.
Pretty bad.
A Chicago White Sox outfielder, Oscar Colas, took a fly ball off the noggin. It did not bounce over the fence.
No Canseco, Jose?
He did not get Canseco'd. It stayed in the yard, but he completely whiffed. He went up and literally whiffed and just bounced off his noggin. Stayed in
the yard. Gonna have a nice goose egg probably tomorrow.
Nice little shiner.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing too extremes happened so far through the first, 4 days.
Luckily, we haven't seen any big injuries or anything, luckily.
Not yet. Something will probably pop up. Actually, we saw a scary moment. The Cubs on Thursday, game one against the Dodgers, Michael Busch hit 106-mile-an-hour line drive right off the pitcher's noggin. And Bobby Miller. He's very, very fortunate to walk away with just a headache. No fracture or anything, but it ricocheted so far that the guy scored from second.
Wow!
On it, so yeah, he hit him. He hit him pretty good, but
I can't imagine how bad of a headache that would cause.
Yeah, I'm sure it obviously scared the daylights out of him. I've seen it's tough for pitchers to sometimes recover from that because you kind of are gun shy and don't finish your delivery because you're scared of just want to protect yourself.
Sure.
And so especially for a guy like Bobby Miller with the Dodgers, had a really bad year last year anyway. That's a pretty rough start to spring training for him. So hopefully he can bounce back.
Another thing this time of year is it's officially this week, NFL Combine.
Is it this week?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Well, the headliners is a lot of guys aren't doing much at the combine this year. Carter from Penn State's not going to work out at the combine. He'll do interviews. Ashton Genty, same thing. Hmm. Shadir Sanders, same thing. So a lot of these guys who are predicted in top 10 are going to do more of their workout. And we're starting to see this.
Yes.
More of their workouts on pro days on their college campuses, you know, especially for quarterbacks to throw to their own guys. But they'll still, of course, meet with teams, do the interviews and such. But it's always interesting. You know, you and I have been to one combine. We actually went to the combine where Patrick Mahomes, we didn't get to watch Patrick. We watched Cooper Kupp was probably the best player we saw.
The first half of the alphabet we watched.
The most notable quarterback is probably Josh Dobbs.
Probably was. I remember, was it Brad Kaya out of Miami? I think he was
CJ Beathard.
CJ Beathard. Cooper Kupp was probably the best.
DeShone Kizer.
That's right, Kizer. Yeah, we saw him throw.
Yeah.
It was a fun experience to do once. Yeah. I don't know if I do it again. Yes.
And I think they've changed it even since we went. But the NFL experience part was a lot of fun.
That's what I'd do again for sure. You just bump into, you know, random legends of former teams, you know, and then
or
current teams owners. That wasn't my I wouldn't say that was a moment I regret.
No, whatever. Just scared the old man a little bit.
I scared the old man. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. I'm like, that's Stephen Ross. I'm gonna say something to him, and it was him and it was Tannenbaum. He was kind of their GM at the time. Now he's ESPN guy. But I go, fins up, and they both jumped, and it was not my finest moment. But
Remember that one guy, that Redskin, well, then Redskin fan, now Commander fan. He was running after somebody. It must have been one of the Hogs.
Yeah, back
in the day, he was running after him with a helmet to get on draft.
Big old offensive lineman for the Washington. Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. But you know, I was kind of semi jokingly in our group text the other day. I was semi serious, semi joking, saying I can't wait to not worry about sports until August, besides the combine besides the draft and free agency.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. Although baseball starts, and I'm always stressed during baseball. It's a slow burn for baseball.
Yeah, so,
which is kind of nice.
Yeah, look at some other ESPN headlines. See, Joel Embiid is getting imaging done on his knee.
Shocker!
What an awful contract.
Yeah. He's played 50% of the total games in his career that he could have. He's always sitting out. He is the face of load management. If the NBA is going to change something, he's the poster boy for it.
He won the MVP 2 years ago.
And he was probably not even deserving. I think he only played 60 games or something like that. I think he barely hit the minimum threshold of games played.
He has up to 4 years, $248.1 million remaining on his deal after this season.
He's not a fun player to watch either. I don't think you asked a random NBA fan who your favorite player is. I don't think one person says Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Especially, keyword there, random or non-Sixers fan. Man.
You poll 1,000 non-Sixers fan. I don't think a single one's going to say Joel Embiid.
There's an unidentified NFL team submits the proposal to ban Tush Push.
They think it's Packers.
Oh, it's got to be somebody in the NFC.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's nobody within their own division.
Right.
To be honest, but I don't know. It's tough to stop. Don't get me wrong. Teams will figure out a way eventually.
We're going on, 3 years now? Four years now? I saw in the Super Bowl, Chris Jones literally lined up sideways, and it didn't matter. So, I don't know how you stop it. You just – I don't know. Maybe the officials will take more of an interest in, you know, which they have done more of, calling false starts on them because they do tend to jump a little early. But it's a rugby play, and I don't think anyone's – it's almost unstoppable if you're less than 2 yards. First down or touchdown or anything.
Yeah. Besides the combine, other NFL notes, everybody's still waiting for Travis Kelce to decide what he's got officially get to do.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, me too. And then there's some, you know, just everybody getting ready for free agency because it starts on March 12th.
Yeah, two weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the rocking and rolling. And the cap space has been up to, they said, in between, what, 277 and 281 million.
Yep.
Which will help free up some space for some people. But it'll be interesting. I think who has the most cap space? Is it Washington? They're up there.
They're up there. I'll Google that real quick.
Yeah, the legal tampering period, does that start the 12th, or does free agency in itself start the 12th? Or does tampering start the 10th?
I think tampering the 10th, I think.
Okay. The 10th is, which would make sense. 10th is a Monday, 12th is a Wednesday.
The Commanders are third with cap. You got the Patriots, number one. Raiders, right. Number two. See, oh, great. Chargers are five. That's just fun.
Where's Denver at in that?
Yeah, I'm looking here. Let's see. 32, 31, 30, 29, 28. Dolphins are 27.
That's higher than I thought they'd be. Or better than I thought they'd be, I should say.
Denver's at 17th.
Mid-pack, huh?
And then they take a big jump after this season when Russell's contract gets all the way off the books.
Yeah. It'll be always fun watching, you know, that first week of seeing who signs with teams, and it'll give some things. And then the NFL never really stops until mainly June is kind of when it slows down a little bit.
I love how the Cowboys said they're going to be aggressive. They're in the red.
Yeah, they didn't do a single thing last year, and we saw how that happened. So I don't know how you can work some gymnastics in a sense to get out of cap hell, you know, restructure deals and all of that, but then it catches up with you down the road too. I mean, look at what the Saints are dealing with still. You know, it seems like the Saints have been in this terrible cap space for 5 years now, and because of all the restructuring and all of that. So were they still last?
Who's that?
Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, we've went 22 minutes without talking any college basketball. I think it's time to dive in.
All right.
I am looking at some bracketology here by Jerry Palm, who's not.
I don't even want to hear it, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us want to hear it. They're both. He talks about both of them right here in the article.
Yeah.
But I don't even know where his full bracket is. Now there is one Big Ten team now on the top two lines. That's Michigan State. He has Michigan State as a two.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking trash about them all year, but I think they're good. Obviously, I mean, you go into Illinois and beat them by 15. You beat Purdue. Then you go into Michigan and win by, you know, double digits. I mean, that was a pretty prove it week, prove it, you know, 6 days. And they, I still don't know if this is Izzo's most talented team of the past even 5 years, but this might be his last best shot, I'll say.
I know you don't want to hear it, but he does have Illinois as an eight in the Midwest.
You know, I'm okay with an eight at this point. Starting to every time I see him, like, okay, Lenardi's going to have him as his first four buys, and I'm going to have to start sweating. But they're pretty safe unless they just implode.
And the one seed, I mean, it's Alabama. I know they're good, but Illinois played them. So
yeah, well, Illinois' defense couldn't stop us right now. So
well, he's got Purdue as a four, and the five there's Marquette, who already handled Purdue.
Marquette's kind of doing the same thing Purdue's been doing. They've kind of started to lose.
And games. Auburn's the one. That was fun. Already watching one time.
It was really fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was just actually the way Purdue's playing right now, they probably lose a 13 seed High Point. So
Alan Huss.
Yeah. Illinois, the 9 seed would be Baylor, according to
that wouldn't be all that great either.
He has Indiana in as the play-in game and 11 seed against Wake Forest.
I haven't seen Lenardi today, but I assume he's bumped him up to pretty dang close to being in.
I assume so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, I mean, they have two really good wins at Michigan State in Indiana or against Purdue at home. At Ohio State's a pretty good win as well. But other than that, they're non-con stunk. We talked about this last week. They don't really have any other wins that – you just think are awesome. Killed at Iowa. They beat like Rutgers at home. They've beaten at Penn State at the time. Looked like, that's a pretty good win. And I think it's still hanging on as a quad one win.
They play them one more time too.
They play them at home.
Play Ohio State at home.
And they play Ohio State. So they're scheduled the rest of the way.
Washington and Oregon still.
Again, it's, yeah, they're, I assume those are their final four games.
Yeah.
They could easily run the table. And I think if they run the table, they're in. And hopefully Woody comes back. That's best case scenario for them, though. They make the tourney and Woody's still gone.
He's not, yeah, he's not coming back. I mean, yeah, he's already said gone. So he's gone.
So yeah, they've started playing better. Yeah. Took him long enough, but
Lenardi hasn't done bracketology since the 21st.
Okay. So
he had him as one of the next four out. But yeah, yeah, I'm sure they're in the first four out now.
First four out, or yeah,
or in.
The bubble just stinks this year.
Yeah, it's not good.
So that's a saving grace for teams like Indiana and Nebraska, and Ohio State's still hanging on, although getting whooped by a Barnheiser and Leechless Northwestern team at home might be the dagger for them.
Absolutely.
At this point. Absolutely. That was ugly.
You know, going back to Indiana, Mike Woodson, it's interesting. For as mediocre or in some fans' eyes bad as he has been at Indiana, he's done pretty well against Purdue, 4-4 record.
That's better than Creed, he's got a pretty good record.
Yeah. He's got a pretty good record. Well, let's see.
You had a stretch where they were better.
Swept them back to back years.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, he was there longer, but right. Way better than Archie. He also has a pretty decent record, I think, against Michigan State. Woodson. So it's kind of weird how he can get his teams up for certain opponents for other ones like the Northwesterns or the, I don't know, the, who else went in there and won?
I don't think they'd ever beaten Wisconsin. Since he's been there.
Yeah, well, nobody up has beat one at Wisconsin since 98 for Indiana.
Yeah, and it seems like even Wisconsin goes into Indiana and beats them.
Yeah.
More often than not here recently.
But, yeah, I hit on it at the opening of the pod. It was a bad week for me and this household. I didn't make things fun for my wife, that's for sure. Starting off Tuesday night with losing at Michigan State, I was pretty animated. Even though I didn't expect a win going into that one, I just don't like losing to them, especially when Purdue had a 5-game win streak over them. I wanted to keep that going. Didn't happen. Then yesterday, felt all right going into the game. Knew it was going to be tough. But to go back and forth early on, then Purdue got hot in the first half. They're up 12. I'm feeling pretty dang good, to be honest. Then the second half starts, and it all started on kind of a bad break for Purdue where Braden Smith's got the rebound, but at the angle, and you know, only being 6 foot or a gracious 6 foot, he had to tap it up to himself. And when he tapped it up to himself, it hit the bottom of the backboard, which is out of bounds. So Indiana gets the ball, Rice hits a three, boom, 12-9. Then Braden dribbles it off his foot or something, they get a layup. All of a sudden it's 12-7 within 48 seconds. Yeah. And then there's a loose ball. Braden Smith, instead of just holding on to it, which possession arrow would have been produced with the jump ball, he tries to throw a pass, and he had to pick it off for a layup. Boom, 5-point game. I mean, in just a blink of an eye, went from 12-5. And then Indiana, credit to them, wrenched up their defense. Purdue couldn't do anything offensively and found themselves down double digits in a hurry to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. At the 13-point mark in the game, threw the remote to my wife, said, "You can watch whatever you want." I said, "I'm taking the dog for a, I got to see WALK because he's in here with me. And if I say the word out loud, he's going to get all excited." She declined to go. So we went for one of those for about half an hour, and I didn't watch a single second the rest of the game. Yeah. I got to go back to my college days, probably the 13-14 season when Purdue finished last, for being the last time I've shut off a game or so early or went somewhere else and did something.
I remember there was a game where you were watching at your parents against Notre Dame.
One of the Crossroads games.
One of the Crossroads where you turned it. They were down like 20. You turned it off with about 10 minutes left. Just kind of played around on your phone, checked the score every once in a while, and they cut it down to like 2.
That was a Butler one. That was one of the Butler ones. Yeah, yeah. I think I was – and sorry, Mom and Dad, now that if you were watching this, listening to this years later, but I was still living with my parents. I didn't go. They went down. I think I flipped the footstool in that game, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't hurt anything I know of. But yeah,
that was a big old ottoman back in the day, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's stupid what I can do to watch sports, but you know, it's so dumb. And I think we could both agree at the end of the day, it's sports, stupid. But it just brings the worst out of us at times. Like,
yeah,
I had to leave the house. Like I couldn't take it. And if it was against any other opponent, I'd probably sit there and yeah. watch, but I'd had it. I was so mad that the game went from 12 points, just flipped to down 12 that fast. And the place was rocking, and Purdue looked like they just quit, which I don't think they did. They just this team struggles when they get down double digits. They don't fight adversity very well, and it's very surprising because they're, you know, a junior-led team with three pretty good juniors who have been through a lot in 3 years, pretty much played a whole career college basketball almost as juniors, but this team's just not responding. And, you know, the blueprint's been out on Purdue, though, since January, and somehow teams still weren't exposing it. Well, now they've been exposed. I mean, it's four straight losses. First time that's happened since the 1920 season. You got UCLA coming into town Friday night, Rutgers next Tuesday, then at Champaign next Friday night. So three games that are not going to be easy. I mean, UCLA, their guards get after you on defense. Yeah, so
forced turnovers. I think they had the highest turnover rate in the Big Ten. Defensively, one of the highest in the country. And they don't give up many points either.
Yep.
But the thing with UCLA, they don't have an alpha dog that's going to go score for you. So they got to keep it in like the 60s.
Yeah.
It's
brutal right now. It's just, I mean, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, Purdue was playing at Michigan in first place in the Big Ten. And the season's flipped in 2 weeks. But it also shows you, and I'm trying to be optimistic here, maybe for both of us, how quickly things can turn as well.
Things can turn,
But man, it's not a good feeling. You want to be playing your best basketball going into March.
Yeah.
Right now, neither of our teams are doing so.
Yeah, both of us have gotten used to our teams getting hot. I mean, right around this time last year, Illinois and Purdue. Well, Purdue was good all season, but Illinois just took off. I mean, mm-hmm. they lost at home to Purdue. Was that the second to last game of the year?
Yeah, and a really good game.
But then they whooped Iowa in Iowa, then won the Big Ten tourney, then get all the way to the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. But now this year, I mean, they fought the flu bug, and I'm so sick of that freaking excuse. There have been rumors swirling that players are unhappy, and it's been a constant battle.
What's going on at Purdue, too, with Twitter, all Twitter stuff, how players aren't reacting to tweets very well. Then stay off of it. I mean
Tomorrow night for Illinois will be fascinating. You'd play, I would say, their biggest basketball rival in Iowa. At least it has the most hated. Crowd will be rocking, obviously. It'll be a sellout. Coming off literally the worst defeat in the history of Illinois basketball, 45 points, where it was over from about the 14-minute mark of the first half. Execution was poor. Duke is really freaking good.
Yeah. Duke and Auburn, I think, when playing good, are better than anyone.
I think they're better. Yeah, they're a different level.
Yep. Yep.
But they kept Cooper Flagg in check in the first half and still found themselves down 17.
I thought from the little bit I watched first half, I didn't think Illinois' offense was that bad.
They were getting whatever they wanted.
They just couldn't stop
at the rim. They started, I think it was 17 for 19 at the rim. The problem was they were still jacking up threes, and they started 0 for 17 from three.
Yeah, that's not good. Oh, my gosh.
Since the Oregon game, which was January 2nd, they are shooting 26% from three, and they're continuing to shoot it at a clip that is higher than any team in the Big Ten. About 40% of their shots are from three. Underwood's sick of it. He said after the game, somebody's either got to man up and make some shots, we just got to stop shooting them. And I don't think it was an effort thing. I think once they got down 30, is easy to do. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. At Wisconsin, I thought they battled all game. They just couldn't get enough stops. They would cut it down to six, cut it down to seven. John Tonji would hit some step back bullcrap three.
Been there.
Go up 10, 11, and it was just – and then Wisconsin went on around the final 4 minutes and made it 20. They've only lost by 20 or more points 13 times in the Brad Underwood era, and three of them have come within the past 9 days. they haven't done it very often. They usually fight until the final whistle, but you know, all kind of came to a head on Saturday, and I'm hoping on Wednesday they come out play with a little bit of pride. because you lose this one, then you have at Michigan, you have Purdue, you're looking at a, you know, a 6-game losing streak all of a sudden. You might need to win a game in the Big Ten tourney to feel, you know, safe of even making the NCAA tournament at that point. And there was rumors swirling today. Brad Underwood's got a foot out the door. The team hates him. I don't believe any of that crap.
Yeah.
They just went to an Elite Eight 11 months ago, and it was, you know, sunshine and roses. And they just – it just hasn't clicked. It looked like, oh, man, this team's not even going to have a down stretch. And now – it's just been brutal the past month and a half. And they got to figure it out quick or this season's going to continue to spiral.
I feel like both teams, Purdue and Illinois, maybe in a little different ways, but both teams are kind of at a crossroads right now.
For sure.
They're coming up in the next games. It's funny you mentioned that, you know, the fans going to Elite Eight, everything. You wouldn't know Purdue went to a national championship
right,
the way most of their fans are talking, you know. Yeah. Oh, Edie, which – I mean, he was back national player of the year, but he hid so many things for this team. And, you know, stinking Painter, he should have went out and got another guy or two in the portal. I get that now in retrospect, but what people forget is, and I don't know how good he was going to be, they lost their 7-4 freshman center the second game of the season. Right. How could Painter know that was going to happen?
Right.
For the people that are like, oh, Mason Gillis should be on Purdue's team. Mason Gillis told Matt's third year last year he wasn't going to come back to play college basketball. So Matt went out and recruited, filled up his class. Actually, he was oversigned by one until Cannon Catchings left after he got off campus. So it just makes me laugh sometimes. Yeah. You can't win with certain fans. And Matt kind of hit on it yesterday because the reporters asked about the Indiana job for some reason. And he pretty much went back to the fans that tweaked more times than not aren't your real fans of your program. It's the ones that stick with you when you're bleeding.
Right.
Who think it's in. He was kind of trying to come to bat for Mike Woodson and kind of saying that Indiana's fan base is part of their problem. That's kind of what he was trying to say without blatantly saying it.
Yeah.
But of course, some people spun that. But also, I think he was just mad at his own team afterwards. I'm sure he lit them up yesterday because he was pretty irritated. You could tell in this post game. I'm sure he was just shell shocked by the way that second half went.
Right.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen a half of Purdue basketball go that bad. Of course, a few years ago they went up and had an awful half against Michigan and got killed. But I don't remember being up at halftime, let alone up 12.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't know your take on this. I'm not blaming that game whatsoever on the officials, but, man, the Big Ten's got some bad officials.
Bad.
I don't understand how you can stop play and review a play, which you're thinking it might be a flagrant foul, of a guy kicking the other guy in the nuts.
Yeah.
And call nothing. Nothing. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I saw a replay of that, and maybe – it could have been, you know, a dual flagrant one because first kind of pulled him down a little bit.
Sure.
And then, you can't just assume intent that the guy was trying to, you know, kick him there. It looked awfully intentional in a sense. But maybe they're just like, play on, let's forget about it, which is probably not the right call anyway. Because, I mean, how many times in that stupid arena have we seen double fouls called? It's more than any other arena.
I'll never forget the blarge with Caleb Swanigan and Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, the blarge. And what was that, 2017, the blarge?
Yeah, like fouled them both out, I think, or gave one of them four and the other one out because they couldn't make up the mind. It was a blocker charge.
Yeah, only in that building does that sort of stuff happen. Yeah. And then the one time they don't call that is when, you know, something like that happens. But
Of course,
it was Hines was involved in that game, too.
That's he was the one who reviewed it. You know, I'm thinking right after I'm like, this could get chippy.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily it didn't. But I just think Big Ten officials, and I have on this is probably the least I've watched college basketball this year outside of Purdue and the Big Ten.
Me too.
But in some other games I've watched, I just feel like officiating across the board has been terrible.
Well, I mean, did you see the BYU-Arizona ending?
Oh, horrendous.
Tony Padilla screwed that one up. No foul at all at the end. No contact. Nothing, and BYU was awarded two free throws with 2 seconds left. Following, Caleb Love very clearly should have been an and one, and they called the ball, the foul on the floor, which could have changed the outcome of that. And these guys are starting to mess with team seasons. They're incompetence. So I don't know what you do, but ever since Jeffrey Anderson's become an official that's calling Big Ten games, because I just heard of him a couple years ago, Chinese.
Yeah,
he never really did Big Ten games. Now he's always doing Big Ten games.
Yeah,
and I've been a, I haven't seen Courtney Green once doing a Big Ten game. I don't know if they shipped him off to a different region, but it's always Carsonson, and now you got the cop is back.
Serrano. Is that his name?
No, it's
Serrato.
Close.
Yeah,
Larry Serrato.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's been bad. I've never been a Carsonson fan for one. And it makes me long for the days of Bo Borowski. Because I think he was a pretty good ref, honestly. Pretty good official.
I still don't miss Jim Burr.
No, Jim Burr or TV Taddy or.
Hightower wasn't bad.
Sterator was pretty good too.
Yeah.
He was just arrogant.
Yeah. But man, brutal at times. I wasn't very happy that one right away to start the game. And did you see Boo Booey's tweet?
I saw he tweeted something out. Was it about Anthony Leo?
Yeah.
I saw that earlier today.
He kind of said something like, I always thought that guy was weird.
He was weird.
Booey, you're just a Purdue killer. Get away.
He's Illinois killer. He killed about everyone past.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Yeah,
he's a good player, but it's gonna be fascinating to see what shakes out, how standings shake out in the Big Ten going forward. You got to think it's Michigan State or Michigan probably to win the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean Wisconsin blew a 17-point lead and lost at home. It was looking like maybe Wisconsin could get it done.
Yep.
And then big win for Oregon because they were kind of slipping too, had been slipping. Right when Wisconsin, you're looking like maybe they're the best team in the conference and gonna get maybe a 3-2 seed, something like that. They lose a home game. So,
I mean, Maryland's hot, but I think it's a little too late for them to win the Big Ten. Now they can still
get
double by the Big Ten tournament. That might be the most feared team to play.
You know, the KenPom thing, it's always, the national title or the national champion always has a top 20 defense, top 20 offense. Maryland's the only one that qualifies right now in the Big Ten. So, I don't know if they're national champion good, but they're one of the best in the conference. Yeah,
I think all of our bold predictions for 2025 that pertain to the Big Ten are going to be false.
Oh, we're terrible.
Yeah, we're not good. We got too much faith in the conference when the new year comes around and then they wake up. But
yeah, well, this will probably be the year that one of them wins a national title.
Oh, man.
Yeah, probably be Nebraska or something.
Oh my! Could you imagine?
They get hot.
Could you imagine? That'd be amazing. Really, yeah. It is still mind blowing to me. I know a lot of Big Ten teams have had the chance in the national championship game. It's crazy. We're going 25 years without Big Ten team winning national championship in basketball.
Yeah, we always said I think it's because all these other conferences have more NBA talent and. That could be. I mean, but then you look at, the ACC has been garbage here the past couple of years. But I would say if I were to put a bracket together right now, I'd probably pick Duke.
Yeah.
In the national title. I don't know what it is. If it's because of the officiating, they officiate them differently. And but again, teams have had opportunities. I mean, Purdue last year, you've had Michigan a couple times.
Oh, sure.
Michigan State's a couple times. Ohio State.
Wisconsin. Illinois.
Indiana's had a chance.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. And if I was a betting man, I'd put betting odds on Duke to win it next year because whenever the Final Four is in Indianapolis, that's when they win their national titles. So, weirdly enough.
So. Speaking of Big Ten teams that were runner-up, are you ready for your blind ranking today?
I think so. I'm a little nervous, but
I picked five random Big Ten teams, and they all happened to lose in the national title game. So, starting with the 2012-2013 Michigan Wolverines.
Oh, good team.
Very.
Beilein, good coach. I hate always starting at three, so I'm going to put them at four.
Four, really?
Yeah.
Of course, I'm looking at my list. You have no idea what my list is.
Yeah, I have no idea what's coming. So now I'm like, oh, great.
Nah, it might make sense. 06-07 Ohio State.
That team was tough. Odin, yeah. Conley, everybody remembers them, but they had some good role players too. Yeah, if they don't run into Florida, they probably win it all that year.
Yeah.
I'm going two.
Two, okay. Okay, that makes it more interesting. Who to do next? 14-15 Wisconsin.
Man, they're really good. A lot of pros on that team. I like putting them at three because I think you got a particular team still in the holster.
Okay. 08-09 Michigan State.
Well, shoot. I was thinking the two teams remaining, and you didn't say one of them. So, 08-09 Michigan State. I didn't think that team was that great, even though they made the championship. I'm putting them at five.
All right. Your number one team is the 04-05 Fighting Illini.
That's who I was hoping. Honest to God, it wasn't even Purdue I was talking about. It was Illinois.
Yeah.
It was. That was the best Big Ten team I've seen.
So. Man, I should have switched it up and put the 01-02 Indiana team.
They would have been five.
To see, well, I would have picked. I would have put them last, and they.
Oh yeah! Oh one. God! Yeah, yeah.
But no, I think that's a pretty.
Yeah,
I might switch. Man, that 2012-13 Michigan team.
Yeah.
Was good with Burke and Stauskas and Hardaway and McGarry.
Yeah.
I
like that Wisconsin team a lot though too.
I might have switched. I might have put 06-07 Ohio State at four and Michigan team at 12-13. That's the only thing I might have done.
Ohio State team was so darn tough back then to match up with. So you had Conley with quickness, and Odin was just a force.
Yeah.
Daquan Cook. And except that team should have been out probably by Xavier.
They should have been, yeah.
So, but usually that was, teams
that Wisconsin team's the one that knocked off Kentucky.
Yep.
That was the one seed. They almost beat Duke. That was a really good Duke team too. With
the year before they took Kentucky to the brink.
Yeah, and I think that was that the 8-seeded Kentucky?
Yeah, that was the one that won me some money.
That won you money, yeah.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the blind rank this week.
Yeah, I like it. And that's the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience. That's right, that's 5-0 in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. You need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. You definitely don't want your brand's logo to be blind to customers and potential customers.
Yeah.
So make an order today.
Do you want to pick some games real quick?
Yeah, and we still have on this day to do too.
Yes, we do. We have Michigan at Nebraska tonight.
Michigan.
Yeah, give me Michigan. Northwestern at Minnesota tomorrow.
Oh, man.
It's a big one to –
give me Minnesota at home.
I think that's got some Big Ten tournament implications. But
yeah.
Give me Minnesota at home as well. Washington at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, big.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Iowa at Illinois.
Illinois.
I'm not even just saying this as reverse psychology. I don't know how Illinois wins another game, so I'm taking Iowa. teams are shooting about 60% from three, and Iowa can light it up.
They can. And, they can.
We'll find out a lot about Illinois tomorrow night, but give me Iowa. Michigan State at Maryland.
I'm taking the Terps.
Give me the Terps at home. That place will be rocking.
Yeah, it will.
Usually doesn't. Penn State at Indiana. It'd be
Indiana.
Typical. It'd be typical Indiana to lose this
one. It would. It would.
I think Indiana gets it done at home. Ohio State at USC.
Give me USC. The way Ohio State looked at Northwestern left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. Give me Ohio State just to be different. Rutgers at Michigan.
Michigan.
UCLA at Purdue, Michigan.
I'm with you. I feel like Purdue can't win another game, but part of me, maybe it's because I'm actually going to be there. So I'm taking Purdue, but if they lose this one, I think they lose the Rutgers in Illinois.
Give me Purdue. I think they I can't imagine Matt Painter team losing five in a row.
I can't imagine them losing four in a row, but here we are. Point.
Iowa at Northwestern.
Iowa.
Give me Iowa as well.
That'd be a good week for the Hawkeyes.
I do. Maryland at Penn State.
Maryland. Yeah.
Give me Maryland. Penn State at home in a major upset.
Eight people rush the floor. Yeah.
Minnesota at Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Give me Nebraska. They can't afford to lose that one.
Nope.
USC at Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon as well. Indiana at Washington.
I'm taking the Huskies. I don't think the Hoosiers go 2-0. They struggle going out to the West Coast.
Give me Indiana. Wisconsin at Michigan State.
Man, big week for Michigan State.
That is.
I got Spartans at home.
Yeah, give me Michigan State at home. Illinois at Michigan.
Michigan.
That's a CBSer. That's fun.
So Michigan's got three games this week.
Woo. Yeah. Give me Michigan as well. Actually, this will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. I think Illinois loses both. And they implode in on themselves. Lose to Purdue, losing the first round of the NCAA.
Purdue is not going into Champaign and winning.
You say that every freaking year, and every freaking year they do. So
Illinois will be out for blood.
Yeah. Well, they were out for blood against Michigan State, too, and we saw how that
worked. Just think of what Fox is thinking. They thought they were getting this prime time, big old Friday night matchup, and might be two teams coming in on 100-game losing streaks.
J-Man's Book and Prediction Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. For home, life, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance, contact Travis 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchering@infb.com.
Book it. You want to get educated real quick?
Always, man. I'm dumb as a box of rocks. You know that.
I like this one here. Let's say 1917. I'm reading it just as it says on here. The Red Sox sell Smokey Joe Wood and his dead arm at 26 to Cleveland for $15,000. A lot of hockey. On this day, 1963, the fifth Daytona 500 was held. Tiny Lund, driving for the Wood Bros Racing, wins on four pit stops as first 10 laps run under caution flag because of rain.
What year was that?
1963.
I might have been able to beat them in my GMC Terrain.
You might have. On this day, 1968, Gary Unger begins NHL consecutive game record of 914 games.
Man, he just had the
hockey.
Yeah, crap beat out of him.
He didn't have any teeth. On this day, 1978, Kevin Porter for New Jersey set an NBA record with 29 assists in a game.
Dang. Scott Skiles has it now, right? I don't think anyone hit 30 or whatever he did.
Yeah. On his day, 1982, Wayne Gretzky scores NHL record 78th goal of season en route to 92.
How many games they play? 81?
80-ish. Yeah, 80-81.
Man, that's more than a goal a game. That is absurd.
He's stupid. A lot of hockey. Winter Olympics. I was thinking 2013, the 55th Daytona 500 was held. Jimmy Johnson won his second Daytona 500. Danica Patrick became the first female to start from the pole position. Also, the best ever finish by a female at Daytona 8. She never did win NASCAR.
Oh, she was a lot of hype.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking 2020, memorial services were held for Kobe Bryant at Staples Center. All the rest is Olympics, so I'm not going to bore you with that. So, the On This Day segment is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Moody Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. Get those sign orders in.
Yes, sir.
Anything else, J-Man, you want to hit on before we wrap it up with the birdie or bogey?
Mm. Victor Wembanyama out for the season with a blood clot in his shoulder. So that's pretty scary.
Yeah, sounds like the right thing to shut him down.
Yeah, shut him down, get that taken care of. Obviously, ridiculous upside. And he's had a great year, too. Will likely be the defensive player of the year. He's averaging, I think, 4 blocks a game. Having a just sensational year. And this might help the Spurs tank and get Cooper Flag, and you're going to have Fox Flag and Wembanyama. That's pretty dang good big three there.
Pop's still coaching.
He's not, though. He had a mini stroke back
in I didn't see that.
November, and he's shutting it down for the rest of the season. And
I did his, not see that. Wow.
His future is a question mark right now.
Oh, okay. So, I misspoke. I thought he was
still. Yeah, it just came out a few days ago. I want to say Saturday. So it hasn't been that long. But he's, done for the year, and not sure if he'll be back. He might retire. One of the greatest ever.
Oh, yeah. He's lasted longer than I thought he would. After Timmy shut it down, I thought he was going to be next. I mean, Timmy, Ginobili, Parker, all those three kind of called it quits. I thought he would too.
But. Yeah, they haven't had a good season really since. Since Kawhi, anyway.
Very underrated dynasty or franchise in sports, really.
Yeah, they won a lot. Yeah, they won a lot.
For a while, I kind of compare them to the Patriots and, sorry, J-Man, here, the Cardinals for a while.
Oh, yeah.
They just consistently won no matter who they brought into the roster.
But yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
All three of those teams actually stink now.
That's okay with me. Yeah. I always kind of like the Spurs. They were just kind of no nonsense. You didn't have the big egos. You have the big three in Boston or the big three in Miami. You just steady. Tim Duncan, the big fundamental. He was boring. Put up 20 and 10. He'd block your shots. Good, passer for his size. He had that little bank.
Underrated trash talker, they say.
Underrated trash talker. I think it was Kevin Garnett told a story how he'd be like, he'd miss a shot or something, and Dunk would be like, "Hey man, almost." Almost. that just gets under your skin so much more than the actual talk.
It's almost like the Andrew Luck. Good hit, man.
Yeah, good hit, man. Good hit. Almost. So close, man. That would just make you mad.
Yeah, it would. It really would. Or I heard a story the other day about Shaq. Didn't know Yao could speak English till like the fifth season they played against each other.
it was something like oh man, I forget. He like had a nice shot over him or something, and Yao goes, "Hey man, nice shot," and he goes, "Thanks, my brother." And that's how he found out he could speak English.
Oh man,
little Shaq.
Oh man,
hit me with that birdie bogey.
All right, what NBA coach has coached in the most All-Star games all time?
I don't know how they choose their All-Star game coach.
I don't either.
I assume it's the two, at least what is in baseball, the two league championship winning managers in baseball. I assume it'd be the conference championship winning teams, their coach, whoever that.
I know it was at one time at least. So
so that's why I have a couple guys. Don't tell me if any are right. But I'm thinking it's either Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich. Those are my two. And I'm going with Phil Jackson. Shoot. Either guy, correct?
Nope.
Well.
Red Archibald with 11.
Archibald. Tiny Archibald?
Yeah. Arback. My bad.
That makes more sense.
Red Arback. Why did I say Archibald?
I was thinking of him, 11. But then like, man, I think Phil went to Moore, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what the criteria is. He was the only one with 11. So,
yeah, we are.
I would have thought Phil Jackson. That would have been my guess.
Yeah, we are combined 7 under, and we're just 6 weeks.
7 over, you mean?
7 over. I mean, we're 7 weeks into the season.
Oh boy!
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. Hopefully, we'll be in better moods.
We'll be a little more positive, hopefully, next week.
We'll see how she goes. Have a fantastic week, everybody.